And from the KTO newsroom, I'm Yvonne Carmer. Shareholders of Sea Alaska will vote in June on whether or not to get rid of a long-standing blood quantum requirement for descendant shareholders. Sea Alaska is the regional Alaska Native corporation here in Southeast Alaska. And with me to talk about the importance of this vote is KTOO's Lindsay Berlini. Hi, Lindsay. How are you?
I'm good.
So can you explain what Sea Alaska's blood quantum requirement is?
So blood quantum is the fraction of someone's ancestry that's American Indian or Alaska Native. So if one of your parents is 100% Alaska Native and one isn't Native, your blood quantum would be 50%. The federal government keeps track of it, and it gives you a Certificate of Indian Blood, or CIB. When Sea Alaska was formed under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, or ANCSA, only Alaska Native people who were born at the time it was passed could be shareholders. That means you had to be born before the act was passed at the end of 1971. And those people are called the original shareholders. And that changed in 2007 when shareholders voted to let descendants join. Those are people descended from original shareholders, but they need to have a 25% blood quantum on a CIB.
So why is the blood quantum conversation happening now?
Sea Alaska sent out a survey to its shareholders in November last year, and they asked what shareholders thought about the blood quantum requirement. About 4,000 out of Sea Alaska's 23,000 shareholders took it, and over two-thirds of those people who took the survey said they support getting rid of it. People who want to get rid of it say that it's keeping their children and grandchildren out of the corporation, and it's keeping them from learning about their culture. Some say that blood quantum is a colonial construct created by the federal government to erase Native people, and it's not how Native people identify themselves. For example, Tlingit and Haida doesn't use blood quantum in their enrollment process. And there are also people concerned with letting more shareholders in because it will dilute their stock and dividends will be smaller. In hard financial times, it's a big concern. And people don't want it to negatively impact elders either. And so this summer, that question will go out to all shareholders when they vote on their proxy, which is like a ballot shareholders use to vote on board members and resolutions like this one.
When will this vote happen?
Shareholders can start voting online in early May up until Sea Alaska's annual meeting on June 25th. And that meeting will be streamed live and in person in Juneau at Centennial Hall.
So what will happen if shareholders vote to eliminate the blood quantum requirement?
There are a lot of descendants who don't meet the blood quantum requirement right now for a lot of reasons. And Sea Alaska estimates that about 10,000 more people could enroll with that change. And that's a lot of people, but they aren't sure how many will actually enroll. Sea Alaska leadership say that when enrollment first opened up to descendants in 2007, it was less than they thought. So how many more shareholders will actually enroll if the blood quantum requirement was eliminated is hard to tell right now.
Thank you for taking the time to talk with us about this.
No problem.
That's Lindsay Berlini. Also from Lindsay Berlini, Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, or SEARCH, has a new opioid treatment clinic in Juneau. It's the first of its kind in Southeast Alaska. The number of people already using the program is highlighting how pervasive the opioid epidemic is in the city.
So they receive their medication, they sign that they've received it, and then they'll go back out to the lobby. And if
Claudette Thor takes me on a tour through their new opioid treatment facility. She manages the healthcare for the homeless clinic for SEARCH. It's been about a month and a half since it's opened, and it's working for people. Thor says it's getting people in the program to bring others in.
I mean, we have a patient here that's brought in six people that he previously associated with or used with, and it works. And when nothing else has worked for him, and I mean, it's word of mouth.
It's a federally approved program to treat opioid use disorders using a medication called methadone. It's specifically for people who can't get stabilized on the other medications. Laura says they have about 40 people in the program right now. That's a lot more than she was anticipating. Dr. Corey Cox has been working with opioid use disorder patients at SEARCH for a while, and he thought he'd seen most people in Juneau with a substance use disorder.
And the people that have came here, some haven't been touched by the medical system in a decade. They've been so pushed off to the corners of medicine.
People seeking treatment for the first time can call the clinic or walk in. But to be eligible, they need to be diagnosed with moderate to severe opioid use disorder during an initial screening. Cox says they take a disease model approach to opioid use disorder. that people with this disorder have a fundamentally different brain than people who haven't used opioids.
Like, I could maybe take an opiate today and never use it again because my brain isn't changed in that way. And we know that people who've experienced traumas, whether they be personal traumas, historical traumas, they're at an even higher risk of that kind of brain remodeling that happens.
People with this disorder need to have their opioid receptors activated to function at a basic level, and that's what the medications do. But some of these less potent medications, like buprenorphine, don't work for everybody. Cox says when people are taking more drugs or stronger drugs, even the maximum dose of buprenorphine isn't working. People can still have withdrawal symptoms and be really sick. That's why this new program uses methadone, but it has to be prescribed in a controlled setting with a lot of monitoring almost every day of the week. Cox says that it's really hard for people to break the habit of using opioids. People are creatures of habit, and habits can be hard to break.
And they're particularly hard when you're fighting, you know, withdrawal symptoms, you're fighting stigma, and you're fighting changes that have been made to your brain that you didn't have any control over.
Thor and Cox say this program is one way Search is preparing for the future, because the opioid use crisis is not close to being over. Last year, 245 people died from overdoses in Alaska. That's over 100 people more than the average from the past 5 years. Cox says that isn't all from opioids, but opioids like fentanyl are contributing to that high number. He says where he's from in Appalachia, people are only taking fentanyl, and that's going to happen in Southeast eventually.
And it's going to make it harder for people to be in substance use treatments, and we're going to see more overdoses.
Some things Search is doing to prepare are providing places to dispose of needles, giving Narcan to anyone who wants it, educating people about safe injections, and starting to destigmatize the disease of addiction. Being in a smaller community, stigma can hold people back from seeking treatment. Claudette Thor says part of destigmatizing addiction is stepping back and recognizing that everyone is a human being and that everyone deserves care.
Most of these people didn't ask for this. A lot of them, this addiction is from they started out on pain medications for a very real pain.
Cox says over 90% of people that come in say they were prescribed pain medications when they were young, whether it was a broken leg or a wisdom teeth surgery.
It was this whole push of opiates and pain on our society, and we're just now, you know, reaping all of the ill effects from that, and it's on all of us to fix.
Cox says that could have been any of us, and that gives him a lot of compassion for people suffering from this disorder. In Juneau, I'm Lindsay Brolini.
In statewide news, until last month, the team at Alaskans for Better Elections had the summer to get the public up to speed on the state's new voter-approved election system. But that new system is now getting its first test sooner than expected, following the passing of longtime representative, U.S. Representative Don Young. The state is holding a special by-mail primary to temporarily fill his seat on June 11th. That speeds up the timeline for Jason Gren and his team.
You know, everything that we had planned, I'd say, from June, July, and August leading up into the primary, changed overnight.
Gren is executive director of Alaskans for Better Elections, the group that campaigned to get election changes passed in 2020. Now they're embarking on a voter education campaign to teach Alaskans about the new system. The upcoming special primary will be the first go of the new system.
But in many ways, it's actually, you know, we're trying to see it as an opportunity, and really the silver lining for us is going, okay, as opposed to all the other races you have to think about, now you can think about these changes on just one race.
The changes come after Alaska voters passed Ballot 2 measure in November 2020. The measure greenlights two main changes to how state and federal elections are conducted. One is that primary elections will now be open primaries. That means that every voter receives the same ballot, regardless of party registration. They'll pick one candidate from the list, and the top four vote getters from each race will move on to a general election. Which brings change number two. The general election will be ranked choice. That means there will be up to four candidates for voters to choose from and rank in order of preference.
If you think of it as looking at a menu on a restaurant going, "Wow, that pizza sounds really good, but so do the tacos. I'm not really feeling, you know, soup and salad, and I really am not going to go for the seafood." Think of it in that same vein for candidates. You'll rank them in a preferential order, 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Gren said no matter how voters feel about the new system, it's important they know how to vote come June. As for the weather today, it's currently 47 degrees and sunny with light winds out of the northeast. Tonight, some clouds may roll in with a low of 33 degrees. The full moon is tomorrow night, and sunset is at 8:11 tonight. This is KTOO.